When you make your first album, there's an old adage they say, which is, you have your entire life to make your first album, and you only get about a year to make your second album. What made me think of that is this little chord progression that's on the untitled track, track 11, on my debut album. It's probably the oldest little thing I wrote on the album. I remember writing it when I was about 12. At that time, I was still, I think, pretty much playing acoustic guitar on the nylon string, learning jazz chords, Brazilian pop, and I just, you know, wanted to be able to play guitar. I didn't want to just jump right into power chords, so I learned this nice, what is it, D minor 7, C major 7. And I remember when I was making my first album, I was just digging for everything I had ever done, ever written. Even though about half the record, I would say, was written while we were recording it. And I pulled this out, and I think the producer liked it. I don't think I mentioned that I wrote it when I was so young. The producer I met originally in New York a few years before we made the first album, and we used a little bit of the demo that we had recorded on the first album. The vocal I did on Dirty Hole was actually done when I was about 18 or 19. It's been a while now since I recorded and released the first album, and I'm still really proud of it. I'm really happy that I have some older music that I'm proud of. It's hard, I don't know if I want to say hard. It's different being a musician. It's a strange life because it's difficult to get your music out there. And then when you get it out there, it's difficult to, you know, it's hard to get people to like it, I guess. And then if you do get people to like it, it's hard to keep their interest for very long. It seems like with this first album, it just was one of those strange things where people seem to like it more now than they did at the time. At the time, it was not a commercially successful album at all. Got practically no press whatsoever. I think it was just a little different than what was going on. The lyrics were a little bit more straightforward. I wasn't trying to be esoteric and sing about nothing. I don't want to sound insulting, but the lyrics were a little bit more from my heart. And the music was thick, and the influences were from all over the place. World music, metal, just everything. I think it wasn't because I was some genius. I think it was because I just didn't know what I wanted to do, what kind of music I really wanted to do. So I just threw it all in there like a crazy stew. But there's only one thing two things I want to say before I wrap this up. So I really think a lot of credit goes to the talented people I worked with on that album and the talented people that helped me get my start. So I'd like to do a special thanks to my attorney at the time, John Ehrlich, who helped to discover me, and Elektra Records, Josh Deutsch, the A&R at Elektra Records, and the producer, Fred Marr, great producer. Took a lot of patience working with a 20-year-old guy like me who had a lot of opinions. He deserves some praise for that. There were a lot of engineers and other people involved. I can't remember everyone's name, but I didn't know everyone really that well. But I think Chris Futerich worked on the album. Studio David Berwald in a studio in Venice. He was helpful. And then there was Alan Elliott did a lot of the orchestral stuff, helping me get that together. He actually did the orchestration. I just kind of, I think, gave him the MIDI notes. And I think that those are the main people that were a big part of their record, other than friends and family. I was gonna say, I just wanted to thank everyone who bought the stripped album. It's kind of a, I feel like it's a little, this album itself is kind of a remembering of this record. And I just want to say thanks to all the people that still listen to my music after all these years and are still interested in what I do. I didn't think that when I made that first record that so many years later people would still be interested in it. No, I don't think any musician ever does. That's one of the things about music that is so unique compared to almost every other form of art and entertainment other than fine art, is that people can still enjoy it so many years later. People enjoy old movies, but it's just not the same. People start talking in that weird old voice, it's just strange. But you can put on a record from the 50s, still enjoy it like came out last week. So I'll play one more song for you guys, and that's all. Thank you very much.